Here we are with your episode 3 of the Pushing for Pay Dirt podcast. We are now in season 2. JFace 907 here, your host with the co-host, the commissioner of Pushing for Pay Dirt, iPinch. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, JFace. How you doing, man?
Cannot complain. It's a beautiful day in Anchorage, Alaska. Just come off of a hot concert last night featuring Abstract, Rude, Brother Ali, and Atmosphere. It was quite the lineup. I was very impressed.
Sounds good, man.
Speaking of lineups, we have a solid, well, we'll be honest, we're full disclosure of Online Dynasty here. We have a solid 10-member Online Dynasty this season thus far, and we've just wrapped up season 1. It's ACC Pac-12. Pinch, you are the ACC dude. You run North Carolina out there. Go ahead and summarize how first season went.
First season went pretty well. I mean, it was pretty competitive in the ACC. Got a number of really good teams. Mike E with FSU held down the number one ranking up until the ACC championship game. And then we have Virginia Tech, who's coached by Derek C. And they have obviously a very strong defense. And he was extremely competitive this year. And then Bucks in Miami. Always a good player there with the talent they have in South Beach. He did quite well, too. So, yeah, you know, our other two spots in the ACC are sort of up in the air. We're waiting for one of our members to come back and move in to his new place and get everything set up. And the other one, we've had a little bit of turnover. So those four guys have been very competitive with one another, though. So it was a successful season. How about you over in the Pac-12?
The Pac-12 was extremely competitive this year. We actually had tiebreakers in both divisions, a three-way tie in the North between myself, Washington, Oregon, and Oregon State. It came down to the Civil War game where Oregon State upset Oregon in overtime, causing that three-way tie. And I'm not quite sure how I had the edge, seeing as Oregon beat me and, well, but then we all beat each other once, so that kind of nullified it. But then I did have the better overall record and the better BCS record. So if it goes down to those two things, then yes, I did win that tiebreaker. And then in the South, we had Utah and USC tied, and Utah actually came away with that tiebreaker, having beat USC earlier in the season. And then when it came down to stepping on the gridiron for the Pac-12 championship game, we actually had a little bit of a scheduling conflict, and it resulted in a simulation, which I actually had no problem with whatsoever. I'm a nice guy. I actually didn't have time myself, and neither did Baron. And it ends with the Utah coming away with the Pac-12 title.
Right, and meanwhile in the ACC, we had Mike E. come out unscathed and ranked number one in the ACC. Atlantic. And in the Coastal, I ran the table. Was undefeated in ACC play this year, fortunately, and clinched a berth in the championship, where I took on Mike E and his mighty Seminoles of Florida State, and actually won that game 27-24.
Now, was there one CPU team that gave the ACC fits? Because I know in the Pac-12, it was Cal.
Yeah, not particularly. I think Georgia Tech was a bit of a pain on these ladders, anyways, with that triple option. Gave some guys a run for their money, but I can't say there was any one particular team like Cal that gave us all absolute fits. So, no, we didn't quite have that.
Speaking of Georgia Tech, we get into the bowl season of season one of PFP, and who do I see in the Sun Bowl? None other than Georgia Tech. It was a great game, finished 28-26, Huskies victory. Not the bowl I was envisioning when I opened the season, or probably you envisioned for me. I think you gave me the preseason Pac-12 championship, but hey, it's a win nonetheless. I gained a prestige star. Overall successful season for the Huskies.
Glad to hear it. And meanwhile, with that win, I clinched a BCS berth, and the way we do it in PFP is we actually have a bowl tie-in between the two conferences, and just to, you know, spice things up a little bit. So this year it was the Sugar Bowl, and I took on Utah, and I'm sure Barron's got a big grin on his face as I'm saying this. My guys just didn't show up to play. We got beaten handily. I walk away with my head down a little bit. I also dropped the first game of the year to CPU Boise State, so I finish on the year 12-2, but, you know, won the conference, so it was successful. Like you, I gained a prestige star as well, which should open things up recruiting-wise for me a little bit. So, successful year nonetheless.
Now, go ahead and wrap up how the ACC did in general in the bowl season.
We had a little bit of controversy actually, as Virginia Tech and Florida State were both highly, highly ranked towards the end of the year. But I believe Florida State had beaten Virginia Tech. I'm not quite sure on that. But either way, Mikey ended up falling below Virginia Tech when he lost to me from 1 to 6, I believe. So Virginia Tech had a higher BCS ranking and clinched an at-large in the Rose Bowl, where they took on Wisconsin and won that. So that's a huge win for Virginia Tech. And Mike E was relegated to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, where he took on a very tough Auburn team and also came away victorious. Miami actually had a very good rematch with Notre Dame. They played earlier in the year, and Miami won on a last-second Hail Mary. So Coach Bucks had a chance to take them on again in the Champ Sports Bowl, and he was victorious as well. And then Steamboat Reb, who was our NC State coach, who just recently retired, he beat South Carolina in the Music City Bowl.
Now, over on the Pac-12 side, we did a lot of beating up on each other, so we only did send that one BCS Bowl team in Barron, who did represent us well, defeating you, as you mentioned, where we then moved on to USC, where all the way down to the Las Vegas Bowl, I guess Coach Bulldog took out all those frustrations there and just absolutely waxed Fresno State. Then we move on to Danthrax in Oregon, who actually went out to the Holiday Bowl to play West Virginia and took care of them rather easily. As I mentioned, I defeated the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in the Sun Bowl, whereas then Marty Webb with UCLA traveled out to play Little Sister of the Poor, Western Michigan, in the Little Caesars Bowl, where it actually was a close game. 38-35 was the final there, UCLA coming away with the victory. And then we have Oregon State, saw him off. He finished up the season against a relatively upstart Texas Tech team who made some noise with some big upsets in the regular season, but Oregon State took care of them 21-17. So that paints the pretty little picture on season one. We actually did not have any Heisman winner, any user Heisman winner. It went to the CPU. Major user trophies included the Mackey. I think we had a couple others. I remember the Mackey just because Austin Safarian Jenkins, ASJ, as we have named him in the Dynasty, ASJ Cheese. He took home the Mackey Award for having a great season. Any awards? Did you take any individual player awards?
I did not. I had several All-Americans, but that's about all I had.
Well, hey, it was a successful season one for PFP. Now we flip it over. We move on to season two now, where if you're following us on the boards, we're actually in week five right now, but we figure no one's really started their tough conference schedule yet or anything. So let's pretend like we're in week one. Let's do the preseason. And we're going to open up the preseason here with our all-user team. Now, defense wins championships, but offense is grown and sexy. So I'm going to give the offensive all-user team, starting off with the signal caller. Okay. Am I biased here, or is he just the best returning quarterback in the nation? Keith Price, he went for 4,313 yards last year with 39 TDs and a 66% completion percentage. I didn't think I'd be passing the ball this much in season one, but I was. Keith Price is just that great of a quarterback, and we're also balanced. And I say that because Jesse Collier is our halfback in our preseason all-user team. He went for 1,346 yards and 13 touchdowns last year. Pinch, is that balance or is that balance?
Some good balance. I just want to see what those defensive numbers look like, though.
Screw you, buddy. No. We actually, over in the preseason all-user team, we like to run a two halfback set, seeing as not too many guys really find their fullbacks too sexy. Halfback number two on our all-user team is North Carolina's own Giovanni Bernard. This guy, when healthy, is probably the best running back in the dynasty. In an injury-shortened season last year, went for 578 yards on 6 touchdowns. He's a difference maker, is he not?
He absolutely is, but he's also a migraine because he cannot stay on the field.
Hey, he was a preseason all-user based on potential last year. Why don't we make it 2 seasons in a row? Then I feel bad because he's my receiver and I don't know how to pronounce his name. Kasean. Whatever, Williams, UW receiver, went for 56 catches last year, 1,125 yards and 11 touchdowns. He's a big play receiver. I trust him with the deep ball. I trust him with the short ball. Either way, he's turning it into big play yardage, and he's come through in the clutch for me big time. We then move on to the ACC on the other side of the field on the wide receiver spot. Allen Hurns from Miami. 66 catches last year, 1,398 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Coach Buck's just airing it out there, isn't he?
Seems to be. A lot of guys, I think, have been with the new passing trajectory. So Hearns is a nightmare. I'll attest to that personally. So it's a good pick.
Then we get into the big uglies right now, where before we branch out to the tight end position, let's go inside, where Andrew Miller of Virginia Tech takes a center award. He is a 96-rated stud anchor of your O-lineman. You always want to have a center. That's your captain outside of your quarterback. And then we go inside out, where John Martinez and Trey Jackson, they both play the same side of the O-line, but guards are really interchangeable, so they both get the guard spots here. Same thing on tackles. Both of these guys play the same side of the line, but I think either one of these could protect the quarterbacks, either a lefty's blind side or a righty's blind side. Xavier Suafilo and Kevin Graff. Xavier's out of UCLA and Kevin's out of USC. Also to mention, John Martinez was out of USC, excuse me, and Trey Jackson was out of Florida State. And tight end, do I really need to say anything else? ASJ, Austin Safarian Jenkins, 63 catches, 1,102 yards, and 11 touchdowns. As I mentioned, he is our defending Mackey Award winner. Now, we know that Washington has a sexy offense. 99 overall on offense, A+. But did I warrant really all of my position players like this?
I'd say so. I mean, with no Barkley, I don't see who else can contest for that number one quarterback spot. You know, Bryn Renner might have something to say about that, but, you know, with my offense, I don't put up quite the numbers Price does. Hundley down at UCLA is good, but, you know, he hasn't quite progressed to that level yet. So I think all your picks are pretty justified. I mean, those are all absolute game changers on offense, so don't feel too bad about picking them. I just hope it jinxes you.
You know, who knows, maybe it might have the same effect on you and jinxing you with your one guy here in Giovanni. How about defense? How are the championship winning defenses looking out there in the user land?
Oh man, well, it starts with the defensive player. We just have some monsters in the ACC. So we started off with Bjorn Werner out of Florida State. This guy sort of flew under the radar last year. You know, he had Brandon Jenkins opposite from him, who garnered most of the attention. But he had 14.5 sacks and 48 tackles. He was an All-American. Just really blew up last year, I think, to Coach Mike East's surprise. Opposite him, we have James Gale out of Virginia Tech. 23 tackles and 8 sacks last year. He's a 97 overall, and he's incredibly explosive with 90 acceleration. For a big boy, that is that's dangerous. So we move to the defensive tackle position, where we have Taylor Hart out of Oregon. He's a preseason All-American that had 37 tackles last year and 13.5 sacks. He's a savvy veteran and I think the anchor of that Ducks defense. The other defensive tackle spot, we have another Hokie, Derek Hopkins, another preseason All-American, had 10.5 sacks last year and 38 tackles. Moving to the linebacker position, at outside linebacker, we have Jordan Zumwalt out of UCLA, senior linebacker. He's the rock of that Bruin defense. Last season, Zumwalt collected 79 tackles and an interception. So he was really the game changer on defense for the Bruins. Sneaky good Bruin defense. I think Marty Webb played pretty well on that side of the ball last year. Middle linebacker, we have Denzel Perryman out of Miami. Very athletic middle linebacker with tremendous tackling ability. 78 tackles last year, 3.5 sacks, 1 interception, and 4 forced fumbles. The other outside linebacker position, we have Hayes Pullard out of USC. This junior tallied 64 tackles last season with 5 sacks and a defensive TD. So that wraps up the front seven. From my perspective, being in the ACC, I mean, I can attest to some of these guys just being nightmares to play against. We have Denzel Perryman, Miami, just the way Coach Bucks uses him, he's a terror out there. So, you know, J-Face, what do you think about some of these guys on the Pac side? You know, any experience with any of them? Agree, disagree with any of my picks?
I mean, on paper, they all look great. On the Pac side, though, on the field, I kind of had my way with your boy Taylor Hart there out of Oregon, the nose tackle slash defensive tackle. as we both know, and Dan knows out there, I put up close to 800 yards offense in that game. I just committed way too many turnovers last year. Hopefully they have improved and won't have to rely so much on the turnover. Yes, Dan, that is a little bit of a shot at you. But other than that, you know, Bulldog and I at USC, when we had our USC-Washington game, it had to go to simulation due to a scheduling conflict. So I didn't get to see too many of those guys on the field. But I'm looking forward to playing Marty and his linebacking core out there at UCLA. For some reason, people just aren't paying attention to UCLA linebackers. Excuse me, tongue twister. But they've actually put out some good ones over the last couple years, and they're playing Sundays now. So I'm looking forward to it this season.
Yeah, just to clarify, Marty Webb's already dubbed it Linebacker U.
Oh, okay.
So he's trying to take that title. So put some lofty expectations on himself there. So see if we can make them live up to them, right?
Definitely.
So we shifted the secondary here, and we have two cornerbacks coming out of the Pac-12. First one's Nickel Roby. Not quite sure how to pronounce that last name. Out of Southern California. He's a senior captain and had 8 interceptions last year. The other cornerback spot, we have Troy Hill out of Oregon. Now, this is sort of an interesting pick because he is actually teammates with Terrence Mitchell, and they have just an absolutely outstanding cornerback duo. And Mitchell's actually rated a little bit higher, but Hill gets the spot here because he just had a tremendous performance last year, and he had 8 interceptions as well. The safety position, we got 2 Tar Heels here. I am at a bit of an unfair advantage. For those who don't know, I'm running the 4-2-5. You know, the defense is sort of predicated on that safety play and them playing up at the line of scrimmage a lot more so than your traditional 3-4, 4-3 defenses. I'm sort of at an inherent advantage there. But we start off with Trey Boston, the free safety. He was an All-American last year, 78 total tackles, 3 interceptions, 14 pass deflections, and a defensive touchdown. Anybody who's played me can just attest to the fact that he flies all over the field. He is incredibly athletic and a guy that I'm going to miss a lot. But thankfully, I recruited a stud at free safety who should pick up where he left off. And at the strong safety position, I have DJ Dunn, who was by far the biggest shock I had year one. He's not the most highly rated guy, but he's a huge piece in this 4-2-5, and he racked up 82 tackles. And coming off the edge, had 6 sacks and 7 pass deflections. So he just blew up this year. Like I said, All-American and preseason All-American this year. So that that concludes the all-user team here.
You know, if I would have played in a 4-2-5, I'm sure Parker and Shaq Thompson both have been on your list there. But I'm just saying.
Shaq is a beast, so I'm sure he'll be there next year.
And Shaq took a red shirt last year, kind of unwillingly, if you were to add a little personality into the game. But hey, I saw that baseball performance he put together in the offseason before season one, going 0-for-34 with 32 strikeouts. And I said, kid, you're sitting the bench.
Yeah, that was a tough go for him.
For
really
sure.
Was.
Oh, stick to football, young man. Stick to football. But that wraps up the all-user team. Let's get a little prediction going here. Let's predict each other's standings, where we see the ACC and the Pac-12 going here. I'll start it off with predicting yours. I'm going to predict the ACC, and I know we hate jinxing each other, but out of the Coastal, I don't see where you will relinquish that Coastal Division Championship, and I don't see where Mike E. and FSU are going to relinquish their Atlantic Championship. I see it's a rematch out in – where are you guys playing nowadays? Not Gainesville.
No,
but
it's in Charlotte this year.
Charlotte, there we go. But I see you guys meeting again there, and ultimately I see you holding that trophy again like your obnoxious signature suggests.
The most obnoxious, man.
Most obnoxious.
If we'll Coach see if that Red jinxes me too, man. That's the first thing I thought. Maybe that's my last one.
Hey, if Coach Red puts out a signature, obnoxious signature power rankings like he did for the Avatars, I'm instantly nominating you number one.
I'll probably validate that ranking myself. I agree completely.
How about how do you see the Pac-12 finishing up?
for those who don't know, Coach Barron and his Utah Utes, I mean, they lost a lot of talent, but on top of that, he's actually in the middle of a move right now, just starting a new job in South Carolina. So he's been simmed a couple times here, and I think that's going to set him back too much. So in the South, I can't see Zach losing to UCLA again. If so, I mean, he might blow something up. But yeah, I absolutely see him coming out of the South. And again, I talk about jinxing each other. With that offense, I can't see anybody slowing you down. If Virginia Tech's defense can't take care of you, I can't see anybody else. So, I've got you and Bulldog meeting in the championship, and I have you walking away from that. So maybe setting up a nice little Fiesta Bowl for us, which is actually where we've moved the bowl tie-in this year. So.
And that's a Pac-12 site, technically considered. So home field advantage would go to the Huskies there if I'm not playing for the national championship. Okay, I'm getting too far ahead of myself there. Anyways, we've got our own conferences now. How do we see each other shaping up? How do you see yourself and the ACC winding down?
I think it's going to be very tough to take down Virginia Tech again, let alone Miami. But just looking at that Virginia Tech defense, I don't know how I was able to beat them last year, and they've only progressed. I mean, I could have filled up that entire user team with their defense. Derek C's a good player, and it seems like he's starting to figure out that offense a little bit. He's got Logan Thomas back, so I see him taking it all the way. I don't see him, losing to anybody. He just lost to you, but I've got you coming out of the pack, him coming out of the ACC, and maybe a nice little rematch there in the Fiesta Bowl. How about you in the Pac-12? You have any confidence in yourself this year?
Well, I just made the joke about national championship, and I don't even see myself in the Pac-12 title game. I think Oregon and Washington will ultimately decide this division, this Pac-12 North. And I think even though Oregon comes to Seattle this year, I just don't see myself stopping them enough times. Because normally with this offense, all I need is one stop, and I just don't see myself getting that one stop against Anthrax and his Oregon offense. And then out in the South, much like you say, I don't see Bulldog losing to UCLA again, or Utah again. I'd see it right there just being not tight at all, honestly. I think USC has two of the best receivers. Now, we didn't mention them in the all-user team simply because they didn't really put up the stats last year that Cason Williams and Hearns put up, but they could blow up at any given time. That's Marquise Lee or whatever his name is, and Woods. Those two guys are absolutely phenomenal athletes. Who cares who their quarterback is? So I've got Oregon USC squaring off in the Pac-12 championship game with Oregon. I think I predicted them winning the Pac-12 last year. I'm predicting them to win the Pac-12 again this year. So Dan, don't make me a fool twice.
That's a solid prediction. I mean, I feel like Danthrex got a lot of tough luck last year. So, considering that, I mean, he already beat Florida State in his user out of conference game this season. I think that's a good pick.
Let's go ahead and let's make a bold prediction, like what will shake up the OD in season two? I'm going to start it off by saying I think they've already done it to one team. I think Cal's going to make some noise again in the Pac-12 North, and I think they're going to creep up possibly into the top three, maybe even top two in the Pac-12 North and knock on the door of the championship game.
Interesting. Yeah, I know a lot of you guys have been complaining about them over there. Seem to be a difficult CPU team to beat. So, I mean, over in the ACC, I'd say the obvious thing is getting another user in. That's going to shake up things a lot, depending on when we pull the trigger on that. He will be in the Atlantic Division, probably NC State or Maryland. So, depending on when we get that other user in, they could. They could give Mike E a run for the money. That would certainly mix things up a little bit. And I think Mike E's expecting to struggle a little bit this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if something happens with that Florida State team because they're really built to win next year. So those are the kind of two dynamics that could shake up the ACC.
It's going to be a fun second season. It already has been a fun second season so far into week five, and we all were looking forward to it going into the off season. Speaking of offseason, would you say year one offseason went relatively well? What was your assessment on that?
I thought it went really smooth. Everybody was on Skype. Everybody got through it real quick. There was no issues whatsoever. A couple guys couldn't be there, but we picked it up for them and did their stuff for them. So, yeah, the offseason went well. You know, I was personally happy with the number 4 overall recruiting class that I was able to pull in. Highest user recruiting class, mind you. Just throw that in there. So what about you? Did you like the whole process, how everything panned out for you?
I did. You know, I was able to jump in around off-season week 3 in the recruiting process. Already kind of had my board shirt up. I just needed one running back kind of for depth purposes. But other than that, I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was great to see an off-season where I didn't have to worry about the OD crashing. Shout out to EA Sports and making that work this year, unlike last year when every off-season seemed to be basically hold your breath until you turn blue in the face.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Hold your breath.
Yes. And, you know, let's wrap it up here. I want to give a big shout out to our 10 members of PFP, Baron, Bulldog, Marty Webb, Dan Thrax, myself. Yes, I'm going to give a shout out to myself. Shout out to UI Pinch. Shout out to everybody else. Sorry if I didn't mention you. I'm just running through the names real quick here. But you guys have been great in season one. You know, saw them off. Bucks, you boys are always been a pleasure. Derek C., I think that actually caught everyone up. And, hey, even though he's not with us right now, the 11th member waiting to join us, Red Zone D, hope you can join us up here soon. We're going to wish everybody good luck the rest of the way in season 2. And until what? Let's pump the one out a little sooner. Until the national championship week. This has been Pushing for Pay Dirt Podcast. I'm JFace907. That was iPinch, and we're out.